There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
December 3rd marks the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and this year's celebration is being marked as a day for all, highlighting that disability is part of the human condition and a sign of the diversity in our societies. Now, over a billion people in the world, one in seven experience disability, and while they have the same general health care needs as others, they're twice as likely to find the skills of healthcare providers and facilities inadequate for meeting their needs. Now, someone who has spent 30 years helping children with special needs is Ihab Shahawi, CEO and founder of The Sales Group, who is bringing the California Behavioral Center to Dubai. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great to have you along. Now, we have heard about you. Your reputation precedes you. A really interesting story. Somebody who has spent decades in the US with people with special needs. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came into that work and why you're so passionate about it.
My pleasure. It has been my work for a long time. It actually started more than 30 years ago when I was in college. I studied psychology, and during my senior year, I decided to take a class called Behavior Modification. And that class really intrigued me. I had liked psychology in general, but this one really hooked me in. And took two semesters of this course with Dr. Ivar Lovas. Dr. Lovas at the time was probably the only person in the world really studying autism in the detail that he was. He had an autism center at UCLA in Los Angeles and was treating children with autism and working with their families and training individuals and who were graduate students and undergraduate students in psychology to work with the children, how to do it properly using an approach called discrete trial training. And I ended up being in that particular place at time. It was just the right timing, and ended up being part of his team and working with children there, and learned how to teach and train children to modify their behaviors, to change their behaviors, and that hooked me in. After college, I worked with children for about a year and then went on to other endeavors for a while, as there wasn't work in the space at the time. There was just very few, if any, providers out in the community, and autism was just starting to be known and starting to be addressed. It wasn't until probably about 10 years later that I actually went back to the field and worked with, studied with Dr. Gary Lavinia, who was a proponent of what's called now positive behavioral supports and applied behavior analysis. And I learned a tremendous amount from him and combined my knowledge from both and created what we call the Sales ABA Plus approach. So it's applied behavior analysis plus discrete trial training, plus many other parts to it that create a whole person-centered focus of assessment and treatment.
And it's been 30 years, obviously. It's a long time. And this is obviously a field which has really evolved. It has really evolved over the last 30 years. Like you said, at that time, people were only still just starting to talk about autism. Very little was known about it. Still, we need to know a lot more just today. But how have you seen the treatments and the field itself change in that time?
The field has evolved tremendously. Back when I started, outside of my core group of students who were studying with Dr. Lovas, there was nobody else out there doing it. Now there are centers in many parts of the United States, many parts of the world. There are several centers here in Dubai and throughout the world, whether they're nonprofit or for-profit or research centers or information centers, assessment centers, they're everywhere. Now, they're not everywhere they need to be yet, but they're in a lot more major metropolitan areas than there used to be, of course. And that number is just continuing to grow.
And the approach itself as well has changed so much too.
Absolutely.
The way that we look at the patient, the way that we look at a person with special needs has changed quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We used to look at individuals, especially with autism, as individuals who could not function in society. That was really the base. We just needed to help them be as effective as possible, or a less of a burden as possible, was really the thinking back in the early 80s to mid 80s. Now, people with autism of different on different parts of the spectrum, with different skill levels and abilities, have functional lives. We've been able to use early intervention services, for example. We realized some years ago that that was a tremendously effective time to start changing the future of an individual with autism. Now, they're never going to get rid of autism. At one point in time, people thought you can actually cure autism. At this point, there is no cure. Maybe one day there will be. Maybe one day it could be reversible. But at this point, no. There's a lot more work to go in that area. But the approach to autism is one that is now looked at as we can improve these individuals' lives as so much that they can actually be functioning members of society. They can have jobs, they can learn skills, they can make friends, they could live as normalized life as possible. And that's always been our goal, to help them achieve that level of being able to live that normalized life as possible, to have friends, go out, have fun, interact properly, of course, to their level of ability. And we create treatments to get them there.
And so this is the particular approach that you're bringing, which is applied behavioral analysis. For those who are not very familiar with it, what does that actually mean?
Good question. Really, it means breaking down any behavior and finding out what causes it. So you're analyzing any particular behavior you want to analyze. Let's take an example. You have a 9-year-old child who diagnosed on the autism spectrum that tantrums, and mom and dad are having fits because he's tantruming all the time and they don't know why he's tantruming. So they contact us and we come in and we do an assessment. And this assessment involves observation, it involves talking to the family, learning as much as possible as when these tantrums occur, and starting to investigate, basically. We have to put a hat on of an investigator and find out what's going on here and dig into it. And once we figure out what the antecedents are, which is what triggers the behaviors, then we say, okay, now we know where it's coming from. For example, for this young man, it might be anytime there's another child around. So whether it's a family member child or a sibling or a neighborhood neighborhood child that came into the home, those might trigger the behavior. So when you have something like that, then you start teaching skills, socialization skills, and it could be, for example, you set up a program where you have that child spend time with another child of equal age and maybe of similar interests, and have a trainer, a therapist, work with them to play a game together or to interact or to just listen to a book. So you start with very basic things. Where they don't necessarily have to interact directly with each other 100%, but you start with basic things where they begin to tolerate having another child close by while doing a favorite activity like hearing a story or playing a game.
We're speaking to Ihab Shahawi, CEO and founder of the Sales Group, who are going to be bringing the California Behavioral Center here to Dubai. Coming back to our conversation with Ihab Shahawi, CEO and founder of the Sales Group. Ihab, you are bringing applied behavioral analysis at your center that you're going to be opening here, the California Behavioral Center in Dubai. It's going to be open next month, but this is something that you have a lot of experience with in the US, and you've seen a need here and you aim to fill that gap. I want to come back to your experience and the people that have come through your centers in the past, and describe to me some of those people, some of those stories, and how you've been able to help them.
You know, we've had tremendous number of people that we've served over the last 21 years for sure, and before that as well. But since we've started the sales group 21 years ago, we've literally had thousands of families that we've served in different ways. And I could truly say that we've had tremendous success with each one of those families and their children. And the way I would explain it is this. You see a tremendous amount of relief on the face of families once they feel that they've found an approach and a system that works for their child and that's producing results. In the States, we have centers, but we also have residential facilities, which are 24/7 residential homes in the community where families would bring their child because the child is too challenging, too difficult for them to manage at home anymore, or puts them or the child at risk. And we know that's, we've seen it over and over. It's extremely emotional time for the families. It's they require a lot of support and coping mechanisms to be able to make that huge transition of literally giving up their child and putting him into somebody else's hands 24/7 and visiting their child
only.
Because that's
got to be difficult, because you know that there are things that need to change. But as a parent, to have to say, well, they have to go into a center, even though you may trust the care and you trust the specialists who are there, that's got to be really difficult on a parent. And you'd be feeling the guilt as well of having to do that, even though you know it's necessary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the guilt that's really difficult for a lot of families to handle. And that's offset. That's initially how they feel, of course. They feel sadness. They feel remorse. They feel like they're guilty because they haven't been able to be a good parent or to be successful with their own child or to be able to successfully manage their own child. But once they see the change in their child, then that changes as well. So we have parent consultation and parent counseling that we work with the families and are constantly in contact with them with updates and information and answering their questions and supporting them. And as soon as they start seeing the major changes within their child, they're amazed and they're surprised, and they're 99% of them are like, oh my God, I'm so happy I made this decision. Others have, the minor percentage that are not seeing it that way. They're having a harder time getting over the guilt factor, and they need sometimes more support.
Give me an example. Surely there are people who stand out in your mind that you've worked with in the past. Take me through a story.
Some years back, we had a young man whose parents were, just super, super people, and they're both busy professionals, and they had another child, and they had taken care of their son, who was, I think, 13 at the time, themselves, and had supports in the home for him and so forth. But they felt that their child was not improving. There was a lot of concern about his behavior and his lack of progress. He was 13, was not toilet trained. He could not feed himself. Even though they believed he had the physical skills and mental ability to do it, he was nonverbal. So communication was a challenge. And they took a big chance. They lived quite far away from where our home was, and they decided to make the placement with this young man. And within a year, he was toilet trained. He was feeding himself. He was exercising, which he would never want to do before. He was playing multiple activities where normally before he would only pace and self-stim. So there was tremendous change within a year. He stayed with us until he was 18, 5 years, and he's now living in his own home with minor supports. So it's a tremendous success story. Mm. The families couldn't be happier with how we were able to change their child's life.
Is it always something that can take months and years? Or that can be very difficult. In that time, you would need to be supporting the parents themselves in terms of how their child is progressing and knowing that they still have that connection there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a constant effort on the families to stay connected. And we help with that with transportation sometimes. They come and visit, or we coordinate group activities for the home where they can come and participate, birthday parties and so forth, to make them more included in their child's life, to help keep them in touch. It could be a long, to go back to your question about how much time does it take. It could be a lifetime of training. It could be very short. We've had situations where we've had a child with us for a couple of months, and he was placed because of aggressive behavior. And once that has been abated and controlled and behavioral change has occurred, and he's no longer being aggressive, he's learned that that is not okay, and there's other ways to handle your stress or frustration, then that child transitions back home within a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, a year. And we've had many, many, many cases where children are placed in our children's homes, and within less than 2 years, they've transitioned back home successfully.
I mean, for people with special needs, it can be very difficult to find the right facilities. It can be difficult to find enough support in terms of specialists, particularly if you're talking in schools that can help make life normal, bring them in to a normal life and help them to integrate into that. And I'm sure you saw that in the US. But what's your feeling here in terms of the need that that is out there, because it's quite great, isn't it?
Yes, we've learned that locally there are providers here in the UAE already, and they are doing a tremendous job. It's just that there's not enough. Not enough providers, not enough therapists, not enough involvement into the community, where that needs to change. And that's what we feel we're here to do, is bring a really top-notch, high-quality approach to providing services. And it comes from training. The key for effective therapy is the training that's provided to the therapist and the supervision that's provided over them. And if we have those controls, we can control the effect.
We are speaking to Ihab Shahawi, CEO and founder of The Sales Group, who are bringing the California Behavioral Center to Dubai, talking about kids with special needs and the ways that we really need to rethink our approach to them and the treatments that we provide for them. We've had texts coming in, one saying, my daughter watches videos of children doing applied behavioral analysis, and I'm on a website that lets me choose those videos for her to watch and customize them. She says that CLM is a more flexible approach to ABA, and her daughter is 3.5 years old. Now, for those of us who are not familiar with the approach of applied behavioral analysis, ABA, just take us through that, and how flexible is it, in fact?
Sure. That's a great question. Thank you, Sally. Our approach is quite flexible, and the way it works is it's a combination of applied behavior analysis, which is assessing behavior and creating a plan for each one of those behaviors and having individuals trained to implement that approach. So that's very flexible on its own merit. Now, the area that where people have always felt that it's a little more strict and non-flexible is the discrete trial training area, where you might have seen a therapist sit down at a table one-on-one with a child and doing drills and doing training and so forth and giving some rewards, etc. That's pretty structured. That's very structured. And it used to be very structured. I never liked that super structured approach. Our approach is, it's not all the way on the soft end as well. It's right in the middle. There's a lot of flexibility. And combining that with the ABA approach, you're actually working on skills. Now, our ABA approach is geared towards generalization, which means being able to train a child anywhere. It's not just sitting at a table. It's not just being in a therapy center room or anything specific. It could be anywhere. It could be at home, in school, in the center, out in the community, at a park. And you can do all that training anywhere, literally. It's not specific to a particular table and a particular site. If you do that, you're not going to have generalization, which means learning that skill everywhere they may go. So if you teach a child how to count, for example, if they're counting things sitting at a table and that's the only place you ever practice with them, and you go out into the park and you ask them to count how many number of trees, they're not going to be able to do it because they haven't generalized that knowledge. It's important to teach everywhere. And that's why we train the parents and teach the parents to work with us and to learn the approaches that we're using and to be able to implement them when a therapist is not there as well. So this way you have a continuum of training 24 hours a day with the child.
Mm. And so what do you do with the parents in terms of working with them? How do you work with the parents?
We have training sessions, group training sessions for the parents, and we have individualized consultation with the parents as well. And it's an ongoing part of the program. So, for example, if a child is in center a certain number of hours a week, we need to take some of that time while the child is actually receiving their services to meet with the parents and to review the plans and ask them how they're doing and implementing and what challenges are they facing at home, what areas can we support them with, and give them strategies and ideas, and actually we'll send therapists to the home as well to work with them, to observe them working with their own child and give them direction and training. So we want to be able to have a child that we provide services to and see those hours of our therapy reduce over time, which means that the family and the parents are picking up some of that load and able to work with their own child.
Yeah, absolutely. And we would love to get your question. Let us know what it is. Last few moments with Ihab Shahawi, who is the CEO and founder of the Sales Group, working in the United States for over 30 years. 48 centers you've got in the United States that you've set up?
We actually have 48 residential homes in the community, which are regular homes in regular communities for children and adults with special needs who need 24-hour supports. Mm. We also have a dozen ABA centers throughout the U.S. and in 10 different states, and vocational, pre-vocational, adult day programs, supported living services, in-home care services, a variety and gamut of services throughout.
Of course, this is working with a variety of ages. So you do work with toddlers.
Yes.
You do that. You work with older children as well.
Correct.
And each have their own concerns and their own issues that they've got to deal with as well, don't
they? Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you've got those specialists who are there for them. But I wanted to ask you as well in terms of psychological help for not just the patients that come through, those who come through, but also for the families as well, because they do need a lot of that support and help. And as a carer, as somebody who is a carer,
absolutely,
for somebody with special needs, to give them that support to keep going and to keep doing it.
Yes, absolutely. Very important. And that's why we have parent consultation, parent training. But we also have a psychologist on staff in our center here in Dubai. We already have a psychologist on staff that's going to be available for the families, the siblings, the parents, the grandparents, whoever is having a difficult time coping with the status of their child, you know, the fact that their child has special needs and the guilt associated with that with so many parents. So we do have that psychological service available, and it's integrated as part of our overall team. So our psychologist knows what the child is doing, how they're progressing, and can use that positive feedback from the therapist to be able to show the parents that their child is doing better. They are progressing. They're part of that, and they shouldn't have that guilt, and help them work through that.
Because it must be so difficult, because you would be facing the guilt of feeling like it was your fault.
Absolutely.
That your child is a certain way. We do as parents of all children, we have a certain amount of guilt. I know I do. If my child acts up or anything like that, it's still, you always feel like it comes back to you as a parent and it reflects badly on you as a parent, and you carry that with you all the time.
Yeah, you feel like you've let your child down. You've failed in some way. You haven't been a good parent. You haven't tough on them or consistent in teaching them or haven't taught them the right way. But that's really, with children of special needs, really it's about having the knowledge and skills to be able to work with them. And that's really what's great about our parent consultation and parent training, is that we're giving them those tools so they could actually parent more effectively to a child with special needs.
Something I want to ask you about as well is schools. You do quite a bit of work with schools.
Yes.
And that involves assessments, working in the classroom. Take us through that, because that's really an area of need here in the UAE in terms of teachers getting the support for children on the autism spectrum or any kind of special needs, to be able to not just pick up on what's going on with the child, but also to support the child in their fullest learning.
Absolutely. We all know you can't learn until you focus. And if you have a child that can't focus and is up and causing havoc and disturbing other kids, the other kids aren't going to be able to focus and learn. So it's a big issue. What we do in schools is we conduct individual assessments for each child. We determine with the teacher the proper educational plan, individualized educational plan for the child. And we support by providing training to the teachers in the school, the aides. We can provide shadow support in the classrooms. We can provide ABA, registered behavioral technicians, into the classroom to really be able to get those behaviors in the classroom under control so the child can learn and not disturb the rest of the class. We also can provide within a school a separate classroom which works first on the behaviors, getting them under control, and then reintegrating the child into the classroom more effectively. And maybe a bit over time, maybe an hour a day, and then two, then three, and then a full day eventually, reintegrate them back into the classroom. So those are strategies that we've done in the past, and we're looking to be able to provide here to the schools in the UAE.
This is for people with special needs, kids with special needs in particular, supporting them and their families. Of course, we know, Ihab, this is an area which has evolved so much over the last 30 years. You've seen it evolve. You've seen it change. What's interesting is that here in Dubai, they use a different term. A different term has been coined, which is people with special needs or people of disability, but rather people of determination. Do you think that we need to be changing the language as well as other approaches that we have?
You know, the approaches have changed, that's for sure. And the language has also changed over the last 30 years. I think when we first started, they were just kids. And we tried to be more specific about describing and diagnosing and labeling. And the labeling has gone to its height. And I think it's starting to come back down again, where it's kids, it's individuals, it's people. And we want to simplify them and humanize everybody without labeling them. So when we talk about a child on the autism spectrum, they're a child. Yeah, they may be on the autism spectrum, or they may have a challenge or a need or an area that they need to work on. But don't we all? We all have areas that we need to work on. Nobody's perfect.
Exactly.
And nobody calls me a person with glasses. You know, they call me by my name. And I think that's really where we need to get to, is that they're just individuals and they all have names and they all have families and they have all individual personalities, and we just need to get to know them in that way.
It's exactly what the World Health Organization was talking about when they said that it is about celebrating the diversity, in fact, that we have. There are those with autism, there are those without, and these are all people. They're all people who deserve their part in society. And something that you mentioned to me earlier is you're doing a lot of support in terms of schools. But as well, once they leave school, they need that support when they go into the workplace and vocational training. What are your ideas for that? And do you think we've got the support and the facilities for that yet?
I don't think we have all the support and facilities for that. I think, especially here in the UAE, it's just beginning. And there are some organizations that are doing great work in pushing that forward. I even came across an individual that's starting a headhunting firm to place individuals with disabilities into paying jobs. So I think that's fantastic. That's definitely a direction we need to go, but we need a lot more support. And we need to bridge that gap between finishing school and being ready to work. And that's where pre-vocational, along with high school years, during high school years, and then vocational training, specific vocational training to the individual's interests, needs to be developed. So there needs to be centers that focus on that kind of training to prep them to get into the workplace and then transition them there through job coaches and job location services and so forth.
To complete that transition, very, very important.
Yes.
You've already got questions from people asking how they can be part of the new centre, and we will direct them to you. We will have information on our Dubai Today website as well about the California Behavioural Centre. But we have a question that's come in. My five-year-old has focus issues in the classroom. The school have asked me to refer her to occupational therapy externally. Is it too early to diagnose ADHD she can focus on an activity for just 5 minutes on average? Is that something that's of concern or something that you can look at?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a complete service that we'll be offering here, from psychological assessments to determine whether the child does have ADHD or not. There's a whole set of tests that can be done for that, and a complete assessment can be created. And then individualized training to improve that focus time. 5 minutes is actually not too bad. We can work on that, obviously, make it better, but it requires just practice and training and creating a specific individualist plan for that child in order to get them to focus longer. But that's definitely something right up our alley as far as services that we can provide and assistance that we can give to the family.
Mm. And particularly in terms of working with teachers in the classroom, I think this is such a big area, training them to be able to pick up on signs that there could be something else, where a child may need treatment, where a child may need assessment, right. And to look at those, I think, yeah, that's a great area for your centre. You're looking at three different things: in home, in centre, and in school services.
That's correct, yeah. Yes. And as far as the schools is concerned, we can actually do free screening at the schools. So we can spend time in classrooms observing the children and interacting with them and conducting, you know, basic fun tests, which are real basic screening tools to determine whether somebody could possibly have any sort of delays or not.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully working on the stigma behind it as well.
Sure, absolutely. Yes.
With the parents and with the wider society, I think it's important for all of us to kind of think again about all of these things, and to, it's not a bad thing if you need help in one area or another, but to make sure that you do get that help where necessary.
Yeah, I encourage all parents to really look at it in a different way. Don't look at it as a negative thing to the family or, a dark spot on the family's reputation. It's an opportunity for you. You've been blessed with a child that needs your help. And if you have the ability to provide that help, it's our duty as parents to seek out and provide the most that we can for our child to help them be successful.
Ihab Shahawi, CEO and founder of Sales Group and founder of the California Behavior Center in Dubai. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.